This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, August the 21st, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today. Although it carries a substantial price tag, Zolgensma could be cost-effective for spinal muscular atrophy patients over time, and its approval is likely to leapfrog work on gene therapies for this and other diseases, say neurologists and researchers. The first gene therapy approved to treat SMA, it comes at a hefty cost of $2.125 million up front, or $425,000 per year under a five-year installment plan. This makes Zolgensma the world's most expensive medicine by list price. But Novartis, the company marketing and now leading its development with AveXis, which it acquired in 2018, has said that it took a responsible approach to pricing. Spinraza, otherwise known as nusinersen, by Biogen, the first approved SMA therapy, cost $750,000 for its first year of use and $375,000 for subsequent years, roughly reaching Zolgensma's list price after 5 years of use and nearly $4.1 million at 10 years. You can see where Zolgensma's price comes from. Arthur Burgess, PhD, a researcher at the Ohio State University College of Medicine, said in an interview with SMA News Today, "Obviously, it lasts longer than 5 years, and it's approximately 50% cheaper than Spinraza over 10 years. Similarly, the gene therapy is about 50% less expensive overall than 10-year cost of treating genetic pediatric ultra-rare diseases," Novartis reported shortly after approval was announced on May 24, 2019. "I think it can be justified. Treatment can cost that much, a one-time treatment," said Dr. Jerry Mendell. "The clinical trial has cost us, Nationwide Children's, close to $10 million. Mendell is an attending neurologist at Nationwide Children's Hospital, and he's the principal investigator for the hospital's Center for Gene Therapy. He led the gene therapy's pivotal study and is continuing to lead its long-term extension. This is expensive treatment. It's expensive therapy," he said, adding that he believes insurance companies, supported by federal or nonprofit programs, will come to cover Zolgensma. "I think we'll have to grow accustomed to this price as new forms of gene therapy are introduced." The cost of not treating a chronic and severe disease like SMA, which leaves babies with type 1 unable to eat or breathe on their own, and robs older children with types 2 and 3 of the ability to use their arms and legs in ways others take for granted, also weighs on determining a valid price, said Dr. Vincent Carson, a pediatric neurologist with the Clinic for Special Children in Pennsylvania, and others interviewed. "In the end, Zolgensma might actually be more affordable than paying for SMA over a lifetime," Carson said, noting that drug development is now thought to cost between $500 million and $1 billion. For companies to invest all this, they need to somehow get that money back at the very least. Zolgensma might also be a one-time therapy for those caught early enough in the disease's course, newborns and pre-symptomatic infants. "The whole costing structure is going to be completely different in this kind of treatment because you're giving it once and it's done," Burgess said. "You're not having a continual income source." Burgess favored a more expansive treatment field, one with greater options for patients and the competition that might affect prices. "Let's add the third competitor into the field," he said, "which could be Roche's drug compound known as risdiplam, and see if it can drop down even more." He particularly liked the potential that risdiplam, which is still in testing, might offer as an oral treatment that can be relatively easily administered to adults with SMA. "Gene therapy is likely to fit mostly into the treatment options early, and I'm talking about systematic cases as well as newborn screening," he added. "Whether babies given Zolgensma might need an additional disease-targeting treatment as they age, like Spinraza or possibly risdiplam, is still to be determined." Carson is optimistic that the pharmaceutical companies will be eager to help all the children that they can, putting in place assistance programs for those who need treatment but cannot afford it. Still, along with other experts interviewed, he favored all parties, from insurance companies to government, pharma companies to potential associations, coming together to look at the way we're doing things and think about this in a new way. Dr. John Brandsema, a pediatric neurologist with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, said that what we hope for is to impact as many of our diseases as possible in a positive way and realize a different way of living with these diseases in the lifetimes of our current patients. But as the field advances, he added, all involved need to make sure that we do it in a way that's highly regulated and both safe and efficacious for patients. We want to do this in an optimal way. That's also important because a grand goal awaits. About a month ago, I received an award from the American Brain Foundation that I think summed up in better words than I can say, Mendell concluded, and that's cure one, cure many. I think that's really what we're looking at. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Development Manager, Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
Hey everyone, today I'll be reading from another story from our 31 Days of SMA project. If you haven't been following 31 Days of SMA, go check it out on our Instagram page or on our main website at www.smanewstoday.com. Today's post is by Jessica Hetzel, and she writes about concert accessibility. Growing up, I have always loved music. Ever since I could talk, I would request music to be played anytime and anywhere. Music has always been a form of self-expression and a coping mechanism. During all the many medical procedures I would have, I would always listen to music to help me get through the pain. At an early age, my mom started taking me to concerts. My first concert was when I was five. I saw Kidz Bop Live. This was the first of many. I have now been to more concerts than I can count because of just how much I love them. Attending a concert with a disability requires more effort than attending a concert without a disability. When I decide I want to go to a concert, I have to call the venue and ask about accessibility. What I have quickly learned is that the definition of accessible is different to each person. A huge issue I face when attending a concert with a disability is purchasing tickets. Most ticket websites do not sell handicapped seats online. This requires you to call the venue and purchase them over the phone. This would be fine if you were not looking to get pre-sale, because pre-sale is only available online. There is only a limited amount of handicapped seats in each venue. Most venues will sell these seats to people who don't always need them. My passion is advocating for inclusion, especially in the live music industry. Live music should be accessible for everyone. In college, I will be studying event coordination so that one day I can work for a venue and create change. My goal for the future is to fix these issues so no one will have to face these struggles again. No one should ever have to fight to attend a concert. Please join me in raising awareness for this issue so we can together create change. For more stories like this, be sure to check out the rest of the 31 Days of SMA posts. This is our way to recognize SMA Awareness Month, and I hope you all are enjoying these stories. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Development Manager for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.